This is Tao, and you're listening to Asiatic Rhythms on radio powered by the people, KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara. Thanks for playing.
Holiday, move me like a holiday movie. Holiday, move me like a holiday movie. Young man, come as close as you can. We suppose that you can wake us early, we bear cash in
back, Asiatic Rhythms, on a Tuesday evening, March 13th, 2007. We're actually being pre-recorded. Guest in the studio,
Tao Nguyen.
And visiting us all the way from where?
San Francisco, California.
Via
Northern Virginia, otherwise known as Bed Bath & Beyond.
So describe your introduction to this musical world and, you know, the quote-unquote genre, even if I want to get into, you know, that train of thought.
Oh, yeah. Music, I started playing guitar when I was about 12 or 13. Mostly, people think I'm joking, but seriously, because I really didn't have that many friends. Okay. No, that's true. I didn't have any many friends. And so you start playing guitar because it's always there. And
and there's no better company than music.
Truth. Yeah. Yes. And it gives you back exactly what you put into mm-hmm. it. And I was telling them earlier that it's funny because I grew up right around when Lilith Fair was beginning. And it was this huge thing and this the first real emphasis on women in music. And I thought that was incredibly inspirational for whatever it was. You know, the stigma and the stereotypes of it and the kind of what it became, you know. But at the heart of it, I thought was a really good, inspirational thing. So that helped. And what else? I started playing open mic nights in high school, which are ridiculous. And then I started taking it more seriously in college, and I recorded this album on a small label in Virginia. And things have, you know, steadily picked up.
So who are some of the artists that moved you as you were in your process into becoming, you know, a singer-songwriter yourself?
I stand by this. Sarah McLachlan, I think, Fumbling Towards Ecstasy, a good album. And I'll spar with anyone who wants to on this. And I don't listen to her much anymore, but... That was a good album.
You know who's a big fan of her?
Huh.
Run from Run DMC.
See?
No, DMC. Yeah. Excuse me, DMC.
Either one of them.
No, but there's a special relationship because we actually brought DMC to one of our The Moth Story Tour, and and he was talking about how he fell in love with Sarah McLachlan. And there was a point in his life when he found out at the age of 35 that he was adopted.
Wow. And as so that, she was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they did a song together.
Oh my God. Seriously?
Yes.
You have a you copy can iTunes, of
that? I have a copy of it. Oh. I could email it to you.
Yeah. Or I mean, I got 99 cents. I could just buy it.
So as far as someone sparring with, you know, Sarah McLachlan, you got DMC behind you.
We're gonna what do you call that? Tag team. Yeah. We're gonna freaking tag team on that. Yeah. Other influences, later on, Lucinda Williams, I was really interested in as a songwriter, just because she's very simple yet honest. But she can deliver lyrics in a way that nothing sounds bad, you know, or contrived. And guitar-wise, I was really into country blues and sort of like Manouche, Gypsy Swing, Django Reinhardt and company, that kind of stuff.
Oh.
much more lovely. Yeah, you are strong.
So how was it growing up being Asian, and how did your parents feel about, you know, your musical endeavors?
That's funny. It never really factored into my existence. I mean, of course it does, but just as any other facet of your identity factors into your existence, you know. As far as musical pursuits, my mom was incredibly supportive. She still is, actually. She owns a laundromat and a dry cleaners back home, and she makes all the customers listen to my CD.
That's wonderful.
And if they say, but, and you know, and then the, of course they say that they like it, because you're not going to tell this woman that you don't like her daughter's music. And then she makes them talk to me on my cell phone. So if you say you like it, if you go in this laundromat and you say you like it, even if you don't mean it, she's going to call me on my cell phone and make you talk to me.
That's so beautiful to hear.
It's hilarious because it's so awkward.
It's a blessing because you could have the other side when it's like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
You are not going to do that.
It's true.
Go be a doctor.
Yeah, no, she's incredibly progressive and open-minded when it comes to that stuff. And I mean, you know, I'm averse enough to other things and in love enough with music that I would do it either way. Mm-hmm. It just is much easier that she's the supportive, you know. But, yeah, she's awesome. She lent her van for me to go on tour, and then it got totaled in Chicago. And they sent her just the license plates. We weren't in it. It was just parked, and some dude just came out and bashed it. But it was totaled, properly totaled. And she was fine, you know. And she called up the next day, and she's like, listen, because we had to be in San Francisco when we were in Chicago. And then she's like, you know, I'll buy you plane tickets. It's fine. Just go.
Oh, wow.
But instead, we just rented another van and drove like 30 hours straight or something. But yeah, she's amazing. She's fantastic about it.
Gonna love that.
Yeah, for sure.
Ready to do a song?
Yeah, okay.
Let's do a song.
Do you have a preference?
Mm-mm.
Okay, me neither. This next song is called Feet Asleep. This is the one that was on the Kill Rockstars compilation. It's probably the song that has garnered the most exposure just for being on that release. Also is our first song with hand claps in it, which I feel is a landmark. And it will be a re-recorded version. A different version is on the release in January. And I have Joel and Glenda here with me, imperative to this song. And I thank them. Talk soft so you fall asleep. Cook your dinner, but you would not eat. Your sharp mouth forgets when you swore, goddamn, you wouldn't do it again. I bend back with an eye full of mud, and I take it on the chin, and then I patch you up. But oh, to see me, I know they have a right to see. plane ride. Oh, these years, my feet asleep. Move them around that they might breathe. And oh, so little time I have gone on the shore, the shore, and all it owns all. Sleep. Move them around that they might breathe. And oh, so little time I have gone old. The sharp, and all it owns.
All these people that people are kind of like mentioning in, mm-hmm. In the category of like Cat Power and Lucinda and Beth Orton. And it's I mean, how do you feel about that and all these different artists that you're being compared to? I mean, it's hard, you know, when it's a new artist and they're always trying to find something to people to relate to.
Yeah, it's
true.
These
are good artists, though. So.
I understand that people need that foothold, you know, to sort of, you need that sort of familiar stepping stone. And so I'm okay with that. But, you know, as long as people understand that it's not, that's not it. Obviously, because no one is out there to be a replication of somebody else. You know, I can see, like, how vocal characteristics are similar and such. And, yeah, I don't mind it. But at the same time, I don't necessarily agree, you know, with a lot of it. But... the other thing is that it's easy to say stuff, you know.
Right.
And it's easy to see a woman with a guitar, you know.
Yeah.
But that said, I like those people. I'm okay. The names you mentioned, you know, I like them. I don't mind being considered in that realm. And if anything, it gives you more credibility than if you were to not be compared to anyone, you know, which is kind of unfortunate, but at the same time... necessary in the music industry, I think. As long as you are mentioned among names, it's like you belong among names, you know.
Right.
So.
Well, I guess that being said, like, what do you think? Like, how do you see your career moving towards? You
the
know,
trajectory
it,
of it.
Yeah.
Well, I think the way I see it moving is the way I'm optimistic about it, and that is only that we can make records and that I can make a living at this and that my band can as well. I think we have incredibly realistic goals, you know, and that's just, is there an audience for it, you know, and if you can roll into a town and 50 people show up, that's awesome. That's amazing, you know. And so that's pretty much what we're going for. And the security and the freedom to pursue exactly what you want, the way you want it, is all that you can ask for, I think. That and, I don't know, maybe sponsorship from jean companies, or like maybe Gibson guitars would toss me something. No, just kidding.
You are in the Anthropology compilation.
Yeah, right? Which was a surprise to me. And I still don't have it. Nothing. No one gave me one. Yeah.
They didn't give you any free swag.
No, dog. And
she just roll up to the Grove right now.
I know this.
Give me a shirt.
Yeah, I walked in there. No, I've actually sent emails, only half jokingly, where I was like, do you think I could get a V-neck sweater from these people? And everyone responds, they're like, I don't, are you serious? And then I am freaking serious, man.
$300
I really like V-neck sweaters. Yeah, you know I can't afford to shop there on my own.
Well, at least know that the people that are being exposed to your music can't afford your music.
Yeah.
If you bought Cat Power, you'd love Tao.
That's true. Oh, man. I've heard upbeat Cat Power before, which... that's cool. I like her. That's fine. But yeah, no, I didn't get a compilation or a sweater. So what the hell is up with that?
So you're signed. How's that label experience going? Like,
oh, it's fantastic. It's in its very nascent stage.
Mm. Joel told me that the label is very well respected. Talk about it. what's the label again?
Kill Rock Stars.
Kill Rock Stars.
Which was founded in the early 90s, 1991, I think, by Slim Moon, who is my former manager. And it's pretty fairy tale if you think about it. He used to manage a woman named Laura Veers, who I was a big fan of. And I sent a demo into her just to see if I could open a show anywhere, like much like an Ice Cube in Hell kind of thing. And he emailed me back, and I noticed in his email address, whatever, it said Kill Rock Stars. But at that time, I don't know anything about indie rock. This was a couple years ago, maybe a year and a half. And I had heard the name, was familiar with the label sort of, but had no idea, but that their roster and who they've put out and who they've discovered and just the kind of their mission in music is so respectable. And so anyway, Slim asked us to be in a compilation, or asked me to contribute a song, which we did. And then we went on tour with their, it was The Sound the Hair Heard, that compilation. And so we went on tour last summer with a bunch of other artists from that comp, and I've just slowly built up this relationship with them, and it's been amazing. Everyone is so down to earth and just incredibly supportive. There's no ego anywhere. Everyone's just, it's like a family. But Slim left Kill Rock Stars to be A&R with Nonesuch Records. Mm. And so he had to stop being my manager as well. But his wife, Portia, took over Kill Rock Stars, and at this time is my manager as well. And so we've recently, within the past couple of months, decided that our next album would be released on Kill Rock Stars, which is amazing. It's a dream. And produced by Tucker Martine, who is awesome.
So let's do another song.
Okay. This one is called Tally Marks for my friend Joel here. This is off our Like the Linen, which was the first record, released in 2005. It's one of the only ones we still do live.
I can't explain it, I'm afraid of noise. All this time, still afraid of boys. It's in the winter, it's in my head. But don't look now, I think it's under my bed. And we drop tears like tally marks. And it builds like snow, and it keeps us apart. And I drop tears like tally marks. But I'm keeping score, so I keep us apart. But I think I might miss you enough to say so. And I think I already did. Well, I think I might miss you enough to say so. There you go, I just said it. same winter, my old man made tracks, and I did too, but I came back, so don't explain love to me. Love is not why we leave, it is real life dreams. Make believe people, you can't build cathedrals out of finger steeples, and we drop tears like talent marks, and it builds like snow, and it keeps us apart. And I drop tears like talent marks. Well, I'm keeping score, so I keep us apart. But I think I might miss you enough to say so, and I think I already did. Well, I think I might miss you enough to say so. And there you go, just said it again. And there you go, I just said it again. Steady on my mind. Steady on my mind. Steady on. Steady on my mind. Steady on my mind. And surely, I want love just as bad as the next. Deeper down in my bones is where it sets.
Let's talk about your band, your sure. entourage, and how that formed. And
they're fantastic musicians. They're just so incredible, and great guys too. And if you're ever going to be stuck in a minivan with three men, the Midwest or wherever, it should be those guys. They're called the Get Down Stay Down, and thank you. Yeah, it was. I would like to take most responsibility, but it was a bit of a collaborative effort. But no, I'll go ahead and say that I made that up. And Willis Thompson on drums, Frank Stewart on guitar, and Adam Thompson, no relation to Willis. Adam the OK Bird Thompson on bass and vocals and whatever. In the studio, they all play everything, and we all try.
And how did that come together?
Willis and I went to school together. He's a year ahead of me at William & Mary in Virginia. And I was playing around campus, and I had been selling these EPs, and so he'd picked one up. And one day, we kind of knew each other, and he approached me and said, I have drum parts to your songs. Do you want to hear them? And so I did. And it was awesome. And we started playing together just around. And so it was he and I for a long time. And then I met Frank. He was involved in that small label that started up in Virginia. And he ended up producing the first record and engineering. We did it in his basement, actually. And it was such a good experience. And we became really good friends. And he also played guitar on it. When Willis and I were on tour, just the two of us, we met Adam at a show in Richmond. He was on the bill because he does his own thing called the OK Bird, which is sweet stuff. And then we went on tour together. So anyway, he joined us on bass for the Kill Rock Stars tour, and as did Frank. So actually, this past summer was the first time that we've ever really played together. And then they made the new record with me. And so they're integral. They're imperative in the sound that we have now, you know, because it's not just, it's a band now as opposed to like me with a backing, what have you, you know.
How you feeling?
I'm all right, man.
You're good. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here, for being a trooper, for spreading good music and for supporting community radio.
Sure.
And, you know, bringing some love, some Virginia love.
Oh, ew. Yeah,
to
no.
Los Angeles.
I really respect what you guys are doing here. So anything I can do to help.